As we read and as we enjoy these precious words of our Lord, we often see how he so effectively uses examples and analogies and metaphors to help us to understand the mystery of who he is and the things that he is able to do. And we need always to remember that his use of figurative language is for our help and for our benefit. He knows that our minds are so very small and are truly unable to fully comprehend the meaning and the wisdom of what he wants us to know about. And that's especially so with this word that's used here in these first few words of John chapter 1, as Jesus is described as being the light. The light. Bear with me for a moment as we step back to the beginning of time, the beginning of all existence, where we're told in Genesis chapter 1 that God first spoke creation into existence. He first spoke creation into existence. In verse 3 of Genesis, Jesus said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Did you notice there, folks? He simply had to speak. He said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. I love to ponder words like those because probably for most of my years of reading these words, my simple mind thought that God was speaking about the ordinary light and the ordinary darkness that we experience within our ordinary days and nights. But then one day I realized that no. When he spoke this light into existence, the sun and the moon and the stars had not yet been created. He didn't create the sun and the moon until the fourth day. No, this was a whole other kind of light, a whole other kind of light. This is that special light that comes only from the presence of God himself. That same light that he describes for us at the very end of the Bible in Revelation chapter 21, where he told us there that the new heavens and the new earth and the new city of Jerusalem has no need for a sun or moon to shine on it. For the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. Folks, I have no doubt that this light of the Lord Jesus that's spoken about here in John chapter 1 was that very same first light that filled the earth at the very beginning of time that's spoken about here in Genesis chapter 1. And oh, it is such a very, very special kind of light. It's the same light that would later on fill the hearts and the souls of everyone who would surrender their hearts into the salvation that the Lord Jesus would generously provide us through his shed blood there on the cross. And it's that very same light that then abides moment by moment within those of us who believe in him. A light that enables us to see things and to know things that we'd not otherwise be able to know. Things of wisdom and holiness and righteousness. Things that are directly of the Lord Jesus. Let's pause here for a moment and let's read these first words given to us in the book of John, and we'll talk about this special kind of light. Listen, this is John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. Now he himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. Born of God. These words, folks, from our Lord reveal that in Jesus, there's a unique kind of life. It's that kind of life that Jesus breathed into the nostrils of Adam, and Adam became a living soul. And please note that the breath of the Lord Jesus was far and beyond the simple air that exists all around us. His breath was the very breath of God, breath that brought a unique kind of life to Adam. Life that enabled Adam to see and to know things about him, about God, that Adam would not otherwise be able to see and to know. And here, God calls that ability light. Light, a very special ability that he would also give to us, to you and me, and to anyone and to everyone who would put their trust in him as Savior and Lord, providing us with that same special kind of ability. The ability to see and to know things that we'd not otherwise be able to see and to know. And especially, the ability to see the wiles and the evils that are present within this dark world that swirls all around us each day. And as we're told here, that darkness wants to be able to understand and to even overcome that special light, but it can't. It can't. The light of our Lord is far too powerful. God used the example of light and darkness here in these words for good reason, because in most every human mind, darkness has a foreboding and ominous presence. Darkness is that time when most of the evil of the world takes place. Robberies and murder, partying and carousing, cheating and adultery. Our foolish minds rationalize that in the darkness, no one can see us. We avoid the light because it exposes our sin. We're told about that in John chapter 3. Listen, there in verse 19 of John chapter 3, we read, "This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed." As we study these words today, let me remind us again of some of the thoughts that we expressed in an earlier study. First, from John chapter 6, verse 63, Jesus said, "The words I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life." Consider that for a moment. What is it that can cause a simple word to take on meaning that is far and beyond the common definition that we assign to it? The answer is the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. And that is exactly what takes place in these words of Scripture. They have the very Spirit of God alive within them. These words that we're reading here in the book of John, they are spirit and they are life. And any understanding that we might have of these words is far more perceived by our spirit than the understanding that we might have with our rational mind. And the only means by which we can begin to perceive the things of God with our spirit is to first accept them with our faith. To accept them with our faith. And as we learned in an earlier study, God has a very special word that he prefers to use to describe that kind of spirit-filled faith. That faith that must abide within our souls. It's the Hebrew word emunah. Emunah. That word used in Genesis chapter 15 when God said that Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him as righteousness. That word emunah, believe, bespeaks a kind of faith that is such a strong conviction within our souls that it transcends any form of reasoning that our minds might have. It's a form of belief that is filled with God's Spirit. It's done and it's settled and it's accepted within our soul. And again, the only way to have that kind of settled belief within us is through the power of God's Spirit. Folks, God is able to communicate His personality, His plans, and His purposes by His Spirit through the mysterious conduit of our belief in Him, our faith. And He doesn't first require you and me to be able to rationally comprehend Him before He can have His abiding faith to live in us. And besides that, dear Christian, we don't have the capacity to do that, even if we wanted to. That truth is expressed so well to us in Romans chapter 11. Listen to these words. This is in verse 33. Oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable His judgments and His paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been His counselor? Now again, God really does not require you and me to rationally comprehend Him. But though that be so, He does want us to know Him. He wants us to know Him, to know Him intimately and lovingly. And we can only do that through the eyes and through the ears of faith, listening carefully to His Spirit. In John chapter 16, He tells us about that. There in verse 13 of John chapter 16, He says, when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He'll not speak of His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He'll tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to Me by taking what is Mine and making it known to you. Think carefully about those words, folks. Our faith, listening to His Spirit, is the only means by which you and I can receive, can believe, and accept the true meaning and the true intent of God's words. His light illumines His words, and they come alive within us, and they begin to make changes in us. Isn't that amazing? Listen to these words given in verse 12. Yet to all who received Him, the Lord Jesus, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Those words, folks, bespeak a belief that receives and accepts all that Christ is, a kind of belief that goes far and beyond our abilities to reason it out. My mind immediately goes to all of the many people who sit in the church pews across our world each week. As we know, not all of those people are believing Christians. Even Billy Graham often acknowledged that not half of the people in our churches were truly saved. There, sitting side by side in those church pews, were human souls, some of which listened intently, believing, receiving, and accepting the words of God. But sadly, others sat with them, right there beside them, listening to the very same words, but completely without understanding. Folks, an unbelieving mind resides in darkness, and it rejects the light that can bring meaning to concepts like this that tell us that to all who received Him, to those who believe in His name, He, the Lord Jesus, gave the right to become children of God. Without the Holy Spirit to define these words, there is no ability within us to understand them. Yes, an unbelieving mind can believe and accept the world's systems, and they can think nothing of it. And although they might not articulate it, they actually even place their faith and their trust in all those world systems. Think about it. Each day, people will drive their cars in traffic, and they'll put their money in banks, and they'll fly in airplanes, and yes, they'll take all those medications that those doctors prescribe. Each behavior requiring belief and faith and trust. And No, a person doesn't have to know and understand how all those things work to enjoy the benefits that they offer. And the same is true about God and all that He is and all that He does each day. Simply refusing to believe in God does not keep God from being the wonderful and loving God that He is. Those words in Psalm 119 remind us of that, especially those words, God is good. God is good and He does good. And that's regardless of whether or not we believe in Him. And these scriptures speak directly to that point. The light that is within Christ Jesus shines through regardless of whether or not the darkness wants to receive it or to reject it. Verse 4, in Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. And verse 10, He was in the world, and though the world was made through Him, the world did not recognize Him. He came to that which was His own, but His own did not receive Him. Oh, dear Christian, Jesus came into this world to be life to everyone who would accept Him. And His presence is a special kind of light that enables us to accept and to receive Him, and also to see how to walk daily through this dark world. I love the way that he words it in Psalm chapter 119. There the psalmist says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And here in John chapter 1, we read, In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Once light is able to shine upon a person, or upon an idea, or a principle, or a belief, then truth can be known about it. And so it is with the Lord Jesus. He came into this world to be a special kind of light that would shine on people and on ideas and on beliefs so that we could truly understand them. But unfortunately, not everyone is willing to receive and to accept what His light reveals. By choice, much of this world lives in a special kind of darkness, a special kind of blindness, an inability to perceive whether something that they're looking at is either right or wrong, good or evil. The presence of Jesus comes into the world, and it shines a light within that kind of darkness. But again, and unfortunately so, that darkness has a special kind of power about it. And that darkness tries every moment to overcome the light, but it can't. It can't. Verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Folks, bear with me for a moment as we take a careful look at this word understood, that the darkness has not understood it. This word understood, as it's given here, has a special dual meaning, a dual meaning. It's a combination of two Greek words, those words kata and lambano, kata lambano. Kata, which means frequent, continuous, intense opposition to, and lambano means willing and actively reaching out to believe. And combined, those words mean that darkness literally fights against receiving and accepting the light of Jesus. The implication being that the darkness spoken about here has a special presence of evil within it that continually opposes the light. Darkness can't comprehend the light, and neither can it understand the light. So it continually fights against and tries to overcome the light. But to all those who do reach out and actively accept the light that Jesus offers, He gives a very special gift. Listen to verse 12. Yet to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Wonderful words. This word received here in verse 12 is the part of the combination word used a moment ago, kata lambano. The word received is lambano, again, meaning to willingly and actively reach out and receive that light. Verse 12, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. That is wonderful, folks. That is wonderful. For those of us who willingly and actively reach out and receive the light of Christ, we are given the right to become sons of God. Oh, dear Christian, there is not a more powerful promise in all of Scripture. Verse 12, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. To those of us who actively reach out and receive him, to those who believe, to those who have faith in him, he gives the right to become children of God. This word right has a very special meaning. It has the context of a privilege that goes far beyond mere privilege. Its meaning carries with it influence, authority, liberty, power, right, and strength. All of those things. I'm reminded of the verses in Romans chapter 8 that declare to us that we can become sons of God. There in Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 14, we read, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Again, these words in Romans are of the same sense as the words that are used there in John chapter 1, verse 12. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. When we fully believe and accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we obtain all the rights and privileges that accrue to being a son. While we'll certainly not ever be a part of the deity of the Trinity, we will in every other way be able to receive and to enjoy all of the influence, the authority, the liberty, the power, the right, and the strength of a child of God. Folks, that is an unimaginable free gift. These words are not frivolous. They are not frivolous. They are not generalizations. They are spirit and they are life, and they guarantee you and me that we can walk this earth each day as people that are different from the way we were before, able to fully enjoy the same love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control that Jesus enjoyed as he walked this earth. There does not have to be the strife within our souls that fills so many other souls that live in darkness. As children of God, the sin nature no longer exerts control over us. Listen to those words in Romans chapter 8, verse 9. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. This one simple step in John chapter 1, verse 12, makes all of those changes take place within us. Those words again. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And folks, as children of God, we become children of the light. Children of the light. That truth is assured to us in Ephesians chapter 5. Listen, verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the world. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And also in Matthew chapter 5, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and praise your Father in heaven. Folks, with the Spirit of Christ living within us, he lights our path. He lights our path, and he enables us to become his light to all those around us. a light shining in a dark world, revealing truth to anyone that will listen. Consider these words as we close. John chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Pray with me, will you? Oh, dear Father, the Lord Jesus truly is our light, and we want to become light also. And so, Holy Spirit, fill us that we may be a light to the world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.